future. As a result of her position as sovereign of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, the Queen has a large array of powers at her disposal that are entirely unique to her. Of these powers is the ability to knight a person she feels is particularly worthy of such an honor. But this brings up the question, what do you actually get for being knighted, both today and historically? To begin with, it's important to first understand that there are several so-called orders of knighthood that the Queen can appoint to a person. What exactly a person did to get the honor and what their job is usually taken into account when deciding which one they belong to. For example, the Queen usually appoints members of the military or civil service to the Order of Bath, while people who do work in foreign relations will usually be appointed to the Order of St. Michael and St. George. By far the most well-known order, though, is the seemingly Bill and Ted named Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, which is often shortened to simply the Order of the British Empire. For this one, there are no specific criteria for appointment, and it's generally the order that members of the public will be appointed to. That being said, the Queen is under no obligation to appoint individuals to any specific order, and as the fount of honor, she is considered the ultimate authority in these matters. However, there is only one honor noted to be given entirely at the Queen's own will. This is the Royal Victorian Order. All other appointments typically are made at the suggestion of specific government officials or royal advisors. Though, as mentioned, the Queen can ignore any suggestions at her own discretion because, you know, she's the Queen. In addition, members of the public can nominate anyone they feel is deserving of a knighthood or a specific honor by contacting the relevant authority and providing a detailed account of that person's individual achievements. For the curious, it is not possible to nominate yourself for a knighthood, though several services exist that will petition for one on your behalf. For a fee, of course. On that subject, it's here that we at Today I Found Out would like to note that neither myself nor the co-author of this piece, the just as British Carl Smallwood of Fact Fiend fame, have not yet been knighted, despite years of tireless work getting the masses interested in learning stuff which has to be generally good for society. Right? I mean, the Queen does take suggestions and all of that. Just saying. In any event, every order of knighthood has several grades, which are comparable to military rankings, with higher grades being considered more prestigious in nature. The exceptions to this being the Order of the Garter and the Order of the Thistle, both of which only have a single grade, knight or lady, depending on the gender of the person being given the award. It should also be noted that some grades, such as being a companion in the Order of Bath, do not allow the individual to use such accolades as Sir or Dame. Then there's the Honor Knight Bachelor, which is basically a knighthood where the person isn't admitted to any specific order that we mentioned previously. This also has a single grade of knight. As you may have surmised from that, this is only bestowed upon men. So this all brings us around to pretty much the only real and tangible benefit that is conferred upon someone who is given this honor. And that's a title. You see, anyone outside of clergy members who the Queen bestows the grade of knight or dame in any of the aforementioned orders can, if they so wish, use the title Sir or Dame, or again, in the case of the Order of the Garter or Thistle, Lady. And they can do this in all of their day-to-day dealings. Individuals named a commander, member, companion, or lieutenant of a specific order, meanwhile, may instead add the letters signifying this. For example, they can add OBE, signifying the individual is an officer of the Order of the British Empire, or CMG, signifying the individual is a companion of the Order of St. Michael and St. George, to the end of their name. And if you're wondering, yes, foreigners can be given an honorary knighthood by the Queen, but they can't use the title Sir, Dame, or Lady, meaning they can't use the one and only tangible benefit of being knighted. As with the aforementioned lesser grades, they can add the letters to the end of their name if they want, but something like Bill Gates KBE, it just doesn't have the same ring as Sir Bill. And yes, both Bill Gates and his wife Melinda have been given an honorary knighthood and a damehood. If either of them were to become British citizens at some point, it is usual for such individuals to then be able to officially use their titles, with the knighthood no longer being considered just honorary. On that note, with the exception of a title, all of the other benefits conferred by a knighthood are intangible in nature, to the point that even a site dedicated to helping people receive such an award noted that the main benefit is simply a raised profile. Given, however, that a decent percentage of those knighted already have fairly high profiles, this is of little benefit to those individuals. This is in keeping with historical precedent, with the title of knight throughout history being largely ceremonial in nature, especially in the United Kingdom. For example, as noted by Royal Collection Trust, the title in ancient times didn't confer any monetary benefit upon a person, since anyone granted the title of knight would, to quote them, be expected to have the financial ability to support the honor of knighthood so that he could provide himself with arms, armor, horses, and the required number of armed followers to render military service to his sovereign for a minimum period each year. That said, one historical advantage to being a knight is that if you were captured in battle, you'd in all likelihood be set up in relatively nice accommodations and then ransomed rather than potentially slaughtered as the common folk were. Although, if it was obvious you had a good deal of money or powerful connections, it didn't really matter if you were a knight or not. This catch-and-release ransom system was pretty much par for the course for the affluent. It's also worthy of explicitly mentioning that historically the title of knight was seen as being so exclusive that nobody, not even a king, could be born a knight. To maintain the exclusivity of the position, and no doubt because of the political benefits of the change, King Henry VIII made the ability to confer the title of knight upon a person something that he and only he could do. The same holds true today, though the Queen can grant someone permission to bestow a knighthood in her stead, if she so wishes. Previous to this monarch privilege, anyone of sufficient rank, such as a royal commander of the army, could knight a person that they deemed worthy of it. As for the act of knighting itself, while historically it might include ritualistic bathing and things of this nature, today it usually consists of a simple ceremony where a medal signifying rank is placed upon the awardee's chest by either the queen or a designated member of the royal family. To facilitate this and make everything go as smoothly as possible, prior to the award ceremony, each recipient will be given a small pin to attach to their clothes from which the medal will be hung, and the medals themselves will be laid out by a royal assistant on a fancy cushion at Buckingham Palace. As per tradition, those becoming a knight or dame will also be lightly tapped on each shoulder with a sword, first on the right and then on the left, after which they are given said medal or badge. Those of lower ranks in the orders who are not allowed to use the accolade sir or dame, they only get the medal, there's no sword tapping involved. As an event steeped in tradition, every aspect of the knighting process has a symbolic meaning, and the items associated with it are considered national treasures. For example, the stool people being knighted kneel on, known unsurprisingly as the kneeling stool, is over 100 years old and immaculately maintained to ensure that it remains in good condition. The sword used by the Queen is similarly steeped in tradition, originally being used by her father, George VI, when he served as Colonel of the Scots Guards. This sword is actually the Queen's personal weapon, and any member of the royal family knighting a person in her stead has to use their own. We should note here that, contrary to what popular culture will have you believe, the Queen doesn't say, "Arise, sir, whoever." Indeed, she doesn't have to say anything, although she has been known to make small talk or even joke during the ceremony because she's the Queen and she could do whatever the hell she wants. Quite literally. If you want to learn more about that, do check out our video on what powers the Queen has, combined with our video on diplomatic immunity. It's truly fascinating. Indeed, the extent of this means that she could use that sword to lop off the head of the person being knighted, and technically, she shouldn't have any trouble getting off scot-free. However, if she actually did this, the reality might be a little different than what the laws of the land strictly dictate. It is worth noting, however, that this would take something of a genuine revolution, as the Queen actually still retains an amazing amount of power over the laws of the land and any changes to them, as well as the ability to dissolve Parliament and even appoint whatever Prime Minister she would want. Another thing we'd like to point out is an aspect of ancient knighting processes that has sadly been lost to history, and that's the slap. You see, at one point, before being knighted, a person would be expected to stand there as the person knighting them slapped them across the face. Sources vary on what exactly this was supposed to signify, but the general hypothesis is that it was more or less a show of dominance by the person administering the slap. But whatever the case, to sum up, being knighted by the Queen disappointingly does not come with a fiefdom and peasants to work the land, nor any such tangible award. Indeed, you don't even get a custom sword, though we do know of at least one person who was knighted who went ahead and got one made anyway. That would be Sir Terry Pratchett. However, the laws of the UK mean that he cannot carry it around in his day-to-day life, despite, you know, being a knight. So, all you get is a title and a bit of added notoriety, potentially providing some small intangible benefits like allowing you to get a table right away at a fancy restaurant when all the commoners have to wait in line. So now, if you do happen to have Sir or Dame before your name, you probably need identity protection more than most people, and that's where Dashlane enters the picture. And